So let's podcast,
yes.
Shall we?
Yeah.
In three.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fun Bearable. I am Brad Rohr.
I am Ray Harrington still, after all these years.
And I'm Radioactive Chuck Stadia.
Oh, no.
That's pretty cool.
Is that a 21 Pilots song?
Well, no.
Radioactive!
That's not 21 Pilots.
It was Imagine Dragons.
Oh, Imagine Dragons. Oh, so clearly different.
Sorry. Yeah. Man, you could be...
Chainsmokers, Imagine Dragons, 21 Pilots. Let's go all watch the same song 10 times.
You could be Radioactive Ray Harrington.
Okay.
You could be Radioactive Brad Rohr.
Okay.
Because it's an R. Radioactive Chuck Staton.
No.
I need something...
Nuclear waste. Toxic Chuck Staton. I've heard you described as toxic
Chuck.
A number of times.
Toxic Chuck.
Huh. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
The toxicity of our city.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff Goldblum. Yes. The toxicity of our city. Yes.
Just to move it down.
When I wake up. Yeah. Put on a little makeup.
Ah, yes.
Makeup. All this dust created. With a shake-up.
Yeah. Why'd you leave the keys up on the table?
You wanted to.
Well, I would say that you wanted to.
Some would say that you wanted to.
I would posit that you wanted to.
Wow. A lot of gold blooms to start this episode.
All right. Now only the diehards are listening. Yes. Everybody else went...
We're done.
I guess I'll watch a walkthrough video on YouTube.
It doesn't matter what I'm walking through.
No.
Is this what they do? They do like one impression for a long time and say the same thing, and then the listeners are like, kind of.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of the listeners are sitting at home going, you got further away from it. Now you guys are just doing impressions of each other doing the impression. I would like to address something really quickly.
Yes.
We're gonna do a little bit of catching up, right?
Yeah, right.
What did the big tomato say to the baby tomato?
Yeah.
Catch up. Mm-hmm. But I want to be clear, before we get into the catch up of what you guys did, the catch up of your lives.
Yeah.
Which is my, they passed on that. Heinz, when I was doing advertising, they passed on that. I said, let's go after the, the fabric of our lives.
Yeah.
Cotton. Let's go after them. And I was like, Heinz, the ketchup of our lives.
Right.
And I think that's good. Yeah. I think that works. Right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
The music was touching.
Yeah.
It was all about family reconnecting.
Oh, mm-hmm. So sweet.
Yeah. Estranged father meets daughter at the train station.
Okay. Do they know what they are to each other, or is it?
They do know. Okay. They do know.
It's not like an old boy situation.
Yeah. No. He has a hot dog.
Okay.
Wonderful.
He's looking and looking and looking.
Yeah.
I look.
What could I possibly put on this dog?
Yeah.
How do I dress this dog?
Yeah.
And then she steps off the train, cloud of steam.
Uh-huh.
By the way, this is during World War II. And and then she holds up a bottle of Heinz ketchup.
Yep.
Heinz. And then we put a line of the ketchup on the hot dog. Mm. It gets phallic, yes.
Yes.
But, a little sex sells, a little zhuzh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it says, Heinz, the ketchup of our lives.
Okay.
Right? There's a funeral.
Mm.
Everyone's sobbing.
Okay.
They're passing out hors d'oeuvres.
How about this one guy in the back like this?
Yeah. He's waiting. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows it's coming.
Oh, I thought he caused the death.
Toxic Chuck in the background there.
Toxic Chuck.
Yeah.
But he's not, he didn't cause
when
the death. He's not waiting
for the body.
He's looking at the widow.
The hors d'oeuvres.
How long is appropriate to... Yes.
They're serving little like sausage rolls and wieners in croissant, right?
Things like it.
Sure. We can't legally call it that.
Yeah.
That's been copywritten. And everybody's looking around like, so dry.
Yeah.
The widow's sobbing, but she's also like thirsty,
right?
And not thirsty like you think, Chuck. Toxic Chuck.
She's also that.
She
thirsty.
Is also.
I looked it up. 48 hours.
She is also thirsty. I mean, the deceased was spent like a year and a half in hospice, so this lady has not had the work done to her. Her boots have not been put to her. Wait, is it her boots that would be, or do you
I think the boots knock. Yeah,
you can knock boots, but you put your boots.
Knocking their boots? Whose boots are knocking?
I thought it was
the people.
I've never heard put my boots to someone.
Well, like
put the boot to
like
her.
Is Brad?
I've never heard
if
that.
Brad was banging, Ray, whose new boots are knocking? Is it your
if
boots?
If Ray
or
was
his?
Banging Brad,
well,
it is his birthday.
Let's be honest.
It's his birthday.
Let's
this
be
week.
Honest. Yeah. Happy birthday, by
Thank
the
you.
Way. But
Thank
you know that I would be the top and you
Not
would be the bottom.
His birthday.
Physics don't agree, right, but yes, realistically speaking, I think I would be the top.
Okay.
Is there a passive aggressive bottom? There's a power bottom, but you're a passive aggressive bottom.
A no power bottom.
Yes.
Fine, I guess we'll do that. Fine.
If that's what you want to do.
Won't even
anyway,
let me
anyway, there's
pick
ketchup
dinner
at the funeral.
Oh, okay. I can't believe Heinz passed on those brilliant ideas.
They were great.
With those clear,
by
concise
the way,
pitches.
It's us in the pitch room, and we're doing this.
Yeah. And then I pass out little plastic shot glasses of ketchup.
Yep.
You know, and I was like, just take it back.
Yeah.
No, they didn't like my ideas.
Yeah.
I was in advertising, and I wanted to be a real madman about it.
Of course. Yeah.
And they said I was, but not the right kind.
Mm. Yeah, right. And I've been there. Dr. McFrankenstein.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pain in the ass. French's loved my ideas for mustard.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Yeah. My whole thing was, it was real gonzo ties type footage,
okay,
right?
Oh, yeah.
This was at the peak of Jackass, right? Yeah. And so what this was going to be was hidden camera footage. And I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I know we like the impractical jokers here, okay?
Yeah.
But I think they saw my pitch deck for my French's commercials,
yes,
and they just turned it into impractical jokers.
Okay.
Because the bit was...
Impractical mustard, I remember.
Yeah, there's a guy, he puts mustard on his mouth.
Yeah.
Just a string of it around his mouth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you can clearly see it's not like blended in or anything
right,
like that.
No.
And then he goes and tries to French kiss people on the street.
French's mustard.
That's right. Funny. Everybody loves mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, famously, children don't like mustard for a while. And then, like, when they become adults, they kind of like it. For me, that's what it was. I didn't like mustard until I was a little older.
Still a child here.
Mm.
The ad was that he was going to try and get kids
children
to try and like mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they passed on it.
Popular in certain circles in Tibet.
And France.
Mm-hmm. You're going to France.
I have a layover. A moon petite visit, yeah? Anyway, no, the reason I'm dressed with a flannel in July is because I just got back from Alaska.
Yeah.
I am back from Alaska.
It's true. He's back.
The land of a million suns.
The largest state in the union.
Seward's Folly.
It's true.
It's larger than France. I mean, California?
Whoa, yes. Let's back up. Did you know you can fit Texas, California, and Montana inside of Alaska? Everybody's like, Texas is the biggest, right? Oh, everything's bigger in Texas. Hey, why don't you take that cowboy hat off and hang it in shame, because you're not. Alaska has cucked you. You've been size cucked by the size queen, Alaska.
Yeah. Wow. This should be your
this
new
was
shirt.
My tour. Yes. I was on a trolley in Juneau.
Screaming.
Just going, did you know? Who's from Texas? You stupid bitch. Right? And it's just some guy going, what?
Huh? I didn't say anything.
I just moved to Houston. I don't know what he's talking about.
I was born in Mississippi.
I was born in Mississippi.
So explain why you were in Alaska.
I was working a cruise ship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I started that recently. This was only my fourth cruise, I think. The only reason I agreed to do it was because sometimes they go to Alaska and I wanted to go. I've always wanted to go to Alaska.
I got to say, the idea of you starting to do these cruises is so funny to me, because you're like the person who I would least want to put through that travel that you have and stay on the barracks thing. It's tough.
The boat. Yeah, it's
a boat. Is it called a barracks?
No.
Or is that just where army men stay?
That's that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and...
Or somebody mispronouncing something that is owned by Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's barracks.
Yeah, you can't...
that's good.
You can't sleep in that bed. That's barracks.
But yeah. The idea of like, I know that...
That's my bed.
I know once in a while now in your life, you're like... Gonna go to Russia tomorrow.
Don't talk about that.
That's funny.
That's
though.
Not part of the cruises, and that's not public information. Sometimes I have to go to Russia. That's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with anything.
It's irrelevant.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I bought those three identical knapsacks for your trip to Russia.
Shit.
Knapsack.
Okay.
As per your request,
yes,
two of them are filled with big Play-Doh blocks of just Play-Doh. The third one I left empty for you.
Yeah, thank you. So, I do appreciate that.
I attached the clock to it, just like the diagram said.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
Happy to help.
It's interesting.
Can I be honest?
What?
I've been smuggling Olympic gold medals from America, and I've been bringing them to Russia.
Okay. Real ones?
They wanted them, yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you get them?
That's where I go on. That's why I go on all these little cruises. They're covered, so I can go to different places.
You ever see the Chipmunk Adventure?
No, but I did the ride.
there's a movie. I don't know how it happened, but in the 80s, they made a movie with Alvin and the Chipmunks, Brittany and the Chipettes, and they made like a full-length movie out of the TV show. I don't know if it aired on television or if it was in theaters, whatever. And it's basically about... It's so weird. It's one of like the seminal movies of my childhood, but I feel like no one saw it. Brad has watched it now.
I have watched it.
Basically, what happens is these like drug dealers... This is so weird. They find Alvin and the Chipmunks and Brittany and the Chipettes. I have a big crush on Brittany. I've always had it. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey... How would you guys like to race each other around the world in hot air balloons? Which is like around the world in whatever.
80 days.
80 days. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take dolls of yourselves and replace them with other dolls of yourselves all around the world. And that's how we'll know you've been there. The chipmunks are all like, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But all the dolls are stuffed with money and diamonds and all this stuff. It's so weird. Yeah, and they have all these little dolls of themselves. And they like go to Mexico and they switch out the doll.
Yeah.
And it's basically about that happening. And there's two FBI agents who are chasing the chipmunks around the world. And Dave Seville is on a world trip.
Oh,
so he
no.
keeps running into
yeah.
them. And
this was supposed to be my Eat, Pray, Love.
So
I'll never find love.
So yeah, so what happens is like all these crazy kooky adventures happen to them. The Chipettes are dressed very sexy at some point. That is like inappropriate, I think, for children to dress.
Cut to a very basic picture of that. and Chuck's like, that is too sexy. And they're just wearing like oversized t-shirts.
They're dressed in like,
harem pants.
Like see-through pants with these little bikinis on.
Okay.
It's like a, how do you describe this dress?
Racist?
Well, it's not me, but yeah, a little bit. I didn't control the races, but so they get kidnapped and they fight a baby penguin. There's a lot of stuff that happens.
All right.
At the end, they figure it out.
Oh, they figure it out.
Yeah, right. They do.
I thought they fuck it.
They're like, these dolls of us are stuffed with diamonds and money. I know that sounds like it's a weird movie. It is, but it's good.
It's very weird because like this feels like it's very bizarre.
Yes.
This is like a fever dream.
Yes.
Because that happened to me.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, I was going to say, it's weird because we were like three, like the
Jets. Yeah.
And we have this kind of similar, the star, and I'm not going to go any further.
Thank you.
And
dibs on being Dave, I guess.
Miller is the babysitter.
Oh, there's a babysitter.
I think she's the dad of
Hold on. What the fuck is going on?
Oh, yeah, right.
I went to Alaska. Yeah, and now we're dissecting a movie three people saw and one of them orgasmed during.
I don't know if you noticed that he said Miss Miller is the dad of the Chipettes. I'm not going to let that go past.
Well, I was thinking of Dave Seville.
I know what you meant.
All right, so anyway... This is not happening to you. You're going there for legitimate reasons. You don't have to exchange any dolls that look like you for other dolls
never.
That look like you.
I've never done that. No.
That would be...
Yeah.
I might make one.
I've brought pillow pets, but... No, I do comedy on a cruise ship, right?
Yes.
So it is weird. It's different. It's not... I don't feel like I'm being... 100% a comedian. Like doing the comedy I want to do and all that stuff. I feel more like... I feel more like they have me come there and show them what stand-up comedy is like, question mark. Yeah. And that's what it feels like. But the upside to that is it's sort of like a trade situation where it's like, hey, I'll come and do those shows, and then you pay my way for all of this, flights, staying on the boat for a week, and then pay me money to do that as well.
Yeah,
right.
So it's hard to turn that down when an opportunity comes up to go to a place I've wanted to go, like Alaska.
Yeah.
In a few days, it'll be the Mediterranean, which is bizarre.
This is what I mean. It's so funny.
Big C.
The Big C.
It's just funny that like you'll be like, oh God, I gotta go to the Mediterranean. Like,
it is weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah,
it's like, a funny responsibility.
I want to go to experience that.
Yeah,
the phrase I was using, I think I said this to you on the phone when I was being like Alaska Ray, which is a thing I have now.
Yeah.
He came a little bit today.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounded wrong. he came a little bit today.
So did So did Chip at Chuck.
Chip at Chuck. I like it. What I said was like, I'm filling a page in like the book of life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what
exactly.
It feels like.
Yes, I agree.
I've always wanted to go to Alaska. I did that. I had the experience. It was incredible. Like, all the cliches that people say about a place like that are true.
Mm-hmm.
Another comic friend of mine, Rafi Gonzalez, just did a cruise in Alaska as well.
Okay.
And right before I left. So I talked to him and he's like, dude, Alaska changed me. And I was like, okay. And then I went and now I'm like, dude, Alaska changed me.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
It was beautiful. And now, yeah. So I got back from Alaska a couple of days ago. I feel normal again.
Good.
And then I'm going to go to Italy, Turkey, and Greece. So I'll do it. How else am I going to be like, yeah, I spent a day in Istanbul, Turkey. You know what I mean? Like, that's amazing.
You had me at Turkey, Greece. I love it.
There you go.
It's Istanbul?
Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
There we go. Okay, yeah.
That's where I was going.
Oh, I got you.
No, I think you have to do it. I mean, I'm
going to say Kathmandu the whole time.
I think of life as like when sometimes...
Don't say box of chocolates.
When things are like, oh, this is a lot to do, it's like, yeah, but what are you doing? Are you doing something that you could do
right.
2 weeks from now or no? Because
right.
Maybe you just take the thing and yeah. You just deal with the stress.
Listen, it's a fuck of a July.
It really
for sure.
Is.
It is a fuck of a July.
Let's pull the curtain back. I ran back to New York to go work on some filming stuff, and Ray said, hey, get your dick back here. It's time to do some podcasts or else we're screwed. And I said,
"Yep,
I'm coming back.
That was an exact quote.
Get your dick back here. But I had to turn right around so we could get in some episodes before you head back out and you globetrotting like fucking James Bond and Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah. I'm more of a Carmen than a James, I think.
What did he do? What did she do? What did Carmen
Sandiego?
Yeah, what was her plan?
She was
traveling
stealing
the world.
Monuments.
Yeah.
Monument?
She would steal the Sphinx. She would steal,
how could you steal
the GW of C.
How did she
Great Wall
steal
of China.
A Sphinx? Yeah. That's big.
George Washington of Carver.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Yes, she would steal monuments.
Gary Whitaker of Concord, New Hampshire.
That's funny.
Gary, no! Yes.
Not Gary Whitaker.
How would you steal a monument?
He's a town selector.
Oh, it's a conceit for a children's
yeah,
game show.
It's fiction.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fiction. Yeah, it's yeah. not real. She didn't really
how
steal
How would chipmunks
them.
Physically travel, right? Like, these are questions
they,
that
learn
no one
how to
asks.
Sing?
Yeah.
Air right? balloons.
Where do they get microphones for their tiny little paws? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, this is a little.
Have you ever seen a chipmunk?
It's a little kookier than that.
It's smaller than this fucking microphone.
You can't just make up any horse shit, though, and be like, that's for kids, so there's no explanation.
She steals monuments.
I wouldn't pitch that.
Hey, David Copperfield did it to the Statue of Liberty.
Disappeared the Statue of Liberty.
So... The show, I've never watched the show. Where
okay.
in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, you
Couldn't
gotta
we
watch
just tell
it.
Where she is by the stolen monuments?
You gotta watch it just for
well,
the...
Well, she would take the monuments and go hide.
Where would she hide it? The Statue of Liberty?
Other countries. That's
yeah.
that's the game show.
Right.
She hides the computer like, the statue like, behind the Sphinx?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Well,
lay it down and cover it with sand.
You're not going to believe it.
You're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, it's just another sand dune.
Yeah. If you put the Statue of Liberty next to the Jesus of Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, it's not close.
And you make it look like his arm is around the Statue of Liberty, I think you'd just be like, yeah, this is beautiful.
If you there's know? One thing Jesus loves, it's liberty.
And I think like Republicans would straight
oh.
up jizz
oh,
at the sight of that.
Yeah.
Look at Jesus palling around with Lady Liberty.
I'm disappointed in this the idea for this television show. It
I think
a little kooky.
Listen, I think Republicans, let me
first.
Say this to you, I personally believe that Jesus Christ fingered Lady Liberty. Mm-hmm. I think they got that far. Jesus didn't fuck her.
No.
Because he was chased.
Yes.
Speaking of chased, Carmen Sandiego, she's getting chased around.
She's
by children.
This is I want you to know the equivalent
this
of this.
This podcast is so all over the place.
Well, it's just like, to me, it's like, I don't know. I think that's too wacky. The idea that she's, can't, why wouldn't you be like, let's make her steal stuff that is small, like the Venus de Milo.
Well, she did steal
she did
that stuff
that,
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I don't want her to steal the Sphinx.
But I can't believe Chuck is the one that's like, let's be a little more grounded for this children's game show.
Well, I mean, the idea...
That's like you listening to the theme song from Rockapella,
yeah,
right? Which is an a cappella group that were like, boom,
boom. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Tell me.
Right. Yeah. You would be like... I don't, because it's too kitschy. They don't have instruments.
No.
Hey, why is this plumber fighting this dragon to save this princess?
He wouldn't fit in those pipes.
And, It is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But you can't just make up anything. It's like, all right, it's a new game show. It's about vampires who are becoming Frankensteins. And you're like, well, what do you mean? And you're like, that's it.
No, but listen.
It was a computer game first to teach kids geography.
It's that a geography lesson. So of course you're going to use.
Fit in a thing.
So of course you're going to use like the things that you know. These are children. They don't know anything else about like Italy other than like Rome is there? Okay. And like they have to get it drilled into their heads.
I get it. Cuz it's harder to come up with a lot of small things.
Yeah, Carmen went to Paris. What did she steal?
Eiffel Tower.
She's stealing the Eiffel Tower. If you do a baguette, it's like
I'll tell you what, Ray's got a layover in Paris. Ray's going to steal a baguette.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm going to steal four of them and make an Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so it's...
I get it.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's landmarks, so it's more fun. It's easier for them to recognize.
Yes.
It's just a little tough to believe.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that she stole the... She stole the Trail of Tears.
Yeah, yes.
Weird episode.
Yeah.
Weird episode. Yeah,
there was that time she stole the Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
So, can I ask one more question about Carmen?
Okay.
Is she going to be like, I stole the Statue of Liberty and I sold it to the Russians?
She just wants to collect them, I believe. Yeah.
She's just a history buff?
I think it's funny that this globe-trotting thief, their last name is just like the third city in California, right?
Very
San strange. Diego.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a catchy song. I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. Who do you think is Carmen Sandiego's natural enemy in life?
It's got to be James Bond.
It's not the chief.
Got to be James Bond.
It's not James Bond.
Jason Los Angeles?
Indiana Jones.
Oh, that makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that does.
She steals a thing and he goes, it belongs in a museum, you know, and then he chases after her.
But then it's like Indy. It's way too big for a new fucking museum.
Yeah. What?
It's a sphinx.
What if the museum's inside it?
All right. I like this.
A museum belongs inside it.
Yeah. A museum belongs in it. Anyway, fuck this. I went to Alaska. It fucking changed me. I feel great.
Yeah.
It genuinely filled my soul. It was surprisingly like introspective.
Right? Yeah.
Like I thought about my life and my family and my friends.
Yeah.
And it was really beautiful. I think when you're surrounded, like I took a lot of pictures and posted them online, but it's so hard to really capture it. It's like, hey, whatever beauty you see in that photo, realize that that's 360 degrees.
Yeah.
It's all around you at all times.
Right.
And like I would step off the boat in whatever town I was in and immediately be struck by like, there's a fucking mountain in front of me that just goes straight up. And it's just these beautiful trees that make way to snow-capped mountain peaks. And it's phenomenal, right? With like glacial blue water.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Changed me. I don't know. I sound like a weird traveler guy describing it.
I think it's going to be a million times worse when you get back from the Mediterranean and you're like, you guys tried olive oil? Changed me.
Yeah. I got peak pocketed in Rome.
Yeah.
It really is like to be confronted by the beauty of nature and know that this is only for a couple of months here. And then it all wants to kill you.
Yes.
Is another.
What do you mean by that?
Because it's Alaska. It just turns, you know, like it's 60 degrees in summer. And when the winter comes, it's like you're lucky if you have 4 hours of light. The temperature is insane. Like the scope of Alaska, like I said, it's bigger than Texas. It's bigger than Texas, California, and Montana combined. There's like 600,000, 700,000 people that live in Alaska.
Pretty spread
in the
out.
Entire state.
Yeah. Wow.
And 400,000 live in Anchorage.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I went to a town that has 300 year-long residents, and they all live in one building. that has like a grocery store in it and stuff like your brain is broken.
Well,
now.
I'm just thinking about the idea of so people do live there while it's that dark all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like, this is tough.
Does the crime boss live on like floor 21 and then the cop has to fight his way up to that floor?
Because
I saw that movie.
Yeah.
It was good pretty movie. Great.
It was based, it was called Judge.
Oh, no.
No, it was. No, well, there was Judge Dredd.
I was thinking
Dredd.
Of The Raid.
The Raid. But there is Judge Dredd. That new movie was based, like, it was very the Raid because they were stuck in one building and he had to get up to the top.
Yep. Did you see Insomnia with Al Pacino?
Yeah.
And so that's during the light times.
Right.
So when you were there, how light was it?
It stayed light until like 11.
Wow.
It was wild, yeah.
Was it kind of kooky?
Yeah, it was altogether spooky. It was weird to like open my window and be like, it's daylight, you know, it's really weird. But no, it was incredible. Like the nature that you're hit with there is just, it's so huge, you know, like it's hard to process sometimes where you're like, oh, there's five glaciers in my view right now that go from the sea all the way up to the clouds.
Yeah. From the Sea by Bebel Gilberto on Amazon Music. Thank you, Amazon.
What did you say?
The Sea.
Alexa, stop it.
All right. Your thing just tried to like seduce me.
My watch always says stuff to me too.
Yeah.
It's just like
that just tried to seduce me. It put on like love making
and
music.
It
not
worked.
Sex music, love making
it worked
music. Yeah it did. I was thinking of thighs the whole time.
Alaska sounds like Alexa.
Oh shit, you're right,
that's why.
Yeah,
I was like, why did that happen?
It genuinely was stunning, and I know that sounds stupid. I wish I could put you there. And I had this moment, and I'm gonna say this out loud, and listener viewer, don't judge me. I'm trying to be open and vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a moment. I live with a lot of anxiety. This year, I've realized that it is like a clinical thing.
Right.
And it is always there, right? Like it's general anxiety.
Right. Yeah.
I've talked to both of you about this thing. And
yeah, we talked about one of your anxiety spikes.
Yes. Spike. Good nickname. You know he'd love it. Put it on his little denim jacket. You know what I need? Spikes. But anyway, no, it is a thing I live with. And I was there, and like on one of the days I was in Juneau, and I went to the Mendenhall Glacier, which is a glacier in a national park. It's beautiful, and you take a little trail. Like you can take the bus there. And see the glacier and do that stuff. But there's also a little trail that's like maybe a mile and a half out to the water, where a waterfall is just pouring down these beautiful rocks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I went there and I told my son, we do a thing when we travel. We like to grab a rock wherever we go.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we have like this collection of rocks. And what's that?
Stonehenge.
They found it.
Where in the world is Raymond San Diego? Yeah.
And they said,
Raymond San Diego.
The guard said, like, what were you going to do with this? It's too big. Where were you going to hide it?
You're just like Chuck.
Yeah. Well, there's a big difference between Carmen San Diego and Ray San Diego. Yeah. And that is Raymond San Diego usually hides it and gets out of a situation by putting it in his butt. So there is a Stonehenge stone that went up there. It was wild.
Yeah.
So I was there. I was thinking about this stuff. And like I went and I took a video of the waterfall starting at the top, kind of going all the way down to the water's edge where my feet were right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you see my hand reach down and pull a rock from the water.
Right.
And like I gave that to Finn. And I was being really introspective and I was thinking about you know, just like what brought me there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It happens whenever I go to a new place that's like a big new thing that feels like a bucket listy kind of thing that comedy brings me to.
Right.
I'll have a moment where it'll happen when I get to Rome before I go on the ship. Like I'll be in Rome for the day. There's going to be a moment when I check into the hotel and, you know, either take a quick nap or whatever to get over the overnight flight. And I'll be drinking a cup of coffee on the street in Rome somewhere, and I'll have a moment where I go, like, jokes, just funny things I thought of said enough to get funnier are why I'm here.
Yeah, that's great.
That's wild. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it's a nice thing to hold on to because of all the anxiety and stuff that comes with this and like the pursuit and industry and all the chaos of everything.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting on the boat and I'm looking at this beautiful coastline go by. And like, I'm in love with it, right? Like, I'm just so keyed in on the moment.
Yeah.
And I had this moment and I wanted to share it on the podcast. And I'm not going to do it justice, so I'll just try and say it. And it's going to sound so like mid-level rom-com aha moment. But I was thinking about all of the stuff. And I was like, you know, the shows went okay. Everybody's been very complimentary. I did my job well.
Right.
And I was thinking about industry stuff because I was texting with a buddy. I was texting with Kyle Kinane.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about industry. I listened to his Marc Maron interview that just came out.
Yeah.
And they were talking about industry.
Right.
And I had this moment where I looked at the trees and this sounds so dumb, but I was like, that tree, that one tree has been here far longer than I have.
Right.
And it will be here far longer than I will be here.
Mm-hmm.
When I die, that tree will be right there. And that tree doesn't give a fuck about what some comedian said on Twitter today. Tree doesn't care about the industry.
Yeah, right.
That tree doesn't care about streaming platforms and what they're buying right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it
was this thing. It was just this moment of recognizing, I think when you're surrounded by such a large thing, like such a, it makes you feel very small.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
And it reevaluate. It makes you reevaluate. Like it's that thing when astronauts go to the moon, they look back at Earth. It kind of changes how they view things.
Yeah.
And if you're William Shatner, you go up to space, you look down, and then Jeff Bezos interrupts you when you're trying to explain that.
Right.
But I had this moment where I got introspective and I was like, well, what is important? You know what I mean? Yes, the things in the industry and the career stuff, I want those things and I pursue those things.
Right.
But they ultimately are the things you occupy your day with. And what's important is who you occupy that day with.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's the people.
Yeah.
And I thought about my mother and my grandmother, my wife and my son, my friends, you guys. No,
I was like, why are we separate?
Yeah, that was the joke.
Yeah.
But it really did make me like think about stuff. Yeah. And that's the joke of like Alaska Ray, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. That's who is, you know, he's confident. He knows what he's doing. And, and it's a weird thing. I was talking to Lee Leshin, you know, a wonderful friend and fan of the podcast. I was talking to him last night about it. And I was like, yeah, like this is the pursuit. This is what you do.
Yeah.
What was the phrase I said? I was like, you know, we're all climbing our ladder.
Yep.
Right. But the important thing to remember is like that's your ladder. Like you're climbing. Are you having fun?
Oh, God, no.
Do you like that fucking ladder?
No, I hate it.
Because you can get a new one. You know what I mean? Like, you can get off it. It's hard, but you can do that.
Yeah.
So it was really wonderful. Like, I'm different. If you need advice, Alaska Ray is great. I was having a bit of anxiety about the flight to Italy.
Yeah.
Because I had a terrible flight back from Alaska. And I was stressing about the flight to Italy because it's another overnight. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do here. I explained the whole thing to you. And I said to Kalina, I was like, I'm going to go outside and think about this. And then I came back inside. I'm like, I talked to Alaska Ray and he knows what this is what I'm going to do. It's so dumb. It is so dumb, but it is genuinely a thing. And I wish that for you. And I wish that for you. Like, I hope that you get to have an experience that does open you up that way. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah. I think I have more of that than the average person. I have more of the big picture thing. And it's one of those things where I think we all have an awareness of that. And it's like actually living in that world versus living in the everyday. Here's the text I just got. Here's the email. Here's the work. Here's the problem.
A big part of it is that disconnect. You have to disconnect from that stuff. It's harder for me on those trips because I'm actively working in that trip. Like I have a job to do.
Yeah.
And like all the people that come up to me while I'm trying to take in that view and have like this aha moment in my life.
Yeah.
What do they say in not high fidelity? in Gross Point Blank, his shakabuku moment or something. Yeah. Swift kick to the head of realization.
Yeah.
And but meanwhile, like, people are walking by and seeing me and coming up to me, and they're like, hey, you know, we've been using that new term, twosies, all this trip. It was really funny. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Twosies, right? And he's like, you know, on a plane, you've only done onesies, never twosies on a plane. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That was because there were horrible children in the audience and I didn't want to say, take a shit.
So I
said twosies.
Yeah.
But thank you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's weird. It's a weird experience to have. It was like a fever dream. It's like when people take ayahuasca, what they hope to get out of it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's good.
Also starts with A, ends with A, has a k sound in it.
Yeah.
So.
Alex Trebeka.
Yep. He's got a film festival.
Yeah,
I know. I do think that's a thing. I think it's a thing to try to get out there and see stuff that's bigger than yourself and see your life is bigger than yourself. And I think it's common for people to go into nature and to be kind of removed from that.
That's
and
the important
feel
part.
Feel like you're taken out of it physically.
Because, like, when I was at that that park in Juneau, like, I had to see past the people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I had to kind of tune people out because, like, on that trail, there are people talking about, like, you know, so and so is being a pain at home.
Yeah, of course.
Or there's somebody talking on fucking FaceTime trail,
right.
And it's just like, you're ruining this. But to tune that out and also to have like a little smug feeling of like, you guys came all this way and didn't get the thing that's really here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Shut up.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was so beautiful to have that experience. I think it's good to go and do that, get away from the things.
Yes.
The day-to-day stuff that piles up, that just sits on you.
Yeah.
And go shake your fucking tree.
Yeah.
And get all of that stuff off.
Yeah.
And then come back. Maybe it's such an epiphany to me because I haven't done a vacation in, I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just been so, so long. So to kind of disconnect for 3 days and just do that was beautiful. Alaska was great. Met some great people. Wonderful time.
I think I feel a little bit of it when I go to New Hampshire or Vermont, when you go to like a lot of the places that are there that I normally go to, your phone loses all service.
Sure, yeah.
And you're kind of just like, I'm just in this place. We're going to experience this town. Like, obviously, there's a lot of like waterfall stuff and a lot of like, you know, nice nature stuff there. And I think there's a little bit of that. And it's funny because it's almost like I think people want to get there out of vacations, but it's actually very difficult to disconnect.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they're like, I don't like to vacation, I'm not good at this, I think what they're really saying is like, I have a hard time compartmentalizing
the
work and responsibility aspect of life and actually embracing a vacation the way it should.
Yeah.
We went to New Hampshire in 2020.
Yeah.
And early August, I was still working at UMass at the time.
Yeah.
You were at a rally, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Leading it. And so, you know, mountains and trees, and we saw some bears, and it was awesome. But then we would go back to where we were staying, and I was answering, you know, 100 work emails a night because, like, it doesn't stop.
Yeah, there is a beauty in going far enough away where you are literally leaving your cares behind, right? Like
I know.
I'm in Alaska. I can't do anything.
Right.
There's shit service. The Wi-Fi on the boat sucks. Like, I can't do work stuff.
Right.
I'm just here. I had these shows on this day. And then 5 days later had shows. I've got nothing else to do
other than
have the experience, you know?
I had an epiphany recently, and this is kind of weird, but it kind of fits into this, I think. Like, you know, obviously I go back and forth between Rhode Island and New York, and I realize sometimes when I'm in Rhode Island, this is where I grew up, I know so many people here, I can walk out of my front door and I know people that run all these businesses. It just feels like there's a lot more to pull me in directions in Rhode Island.
Right.
Yeah. And when I go to New York, where it's like I live in Staten Island and I work in Manhattan and I work in Hazlitt and I work wherever, it feels like I have a lot more control over my free time when I'm in New York.
Yeah,
because it's almost like where I work more and this is where I have like my grow up time, you know, where I grew up here and all these friends. And I do feel like sometimes I leave here and I feel very like I'm just constant. And I can go to New York for a few days. And if I want to tune out and I want to do a lot of walking, I want to do a lot of editing, like just zone out and edit. It really feels like I have a lot more control over the calmness of my life when I'm there than I do here. And I think that, you know, this is a recent change, me moving to New York. It's only still only a year and a half ago is when I got a place there. It is one of those things, I think, where my life here kind of represents the life that most people have like baked into themselves, and this is where they are. And then getting away is kind of, yes, like I can't be called over here to this person. I can't be called to this because I'm not there. And I feel like I get a little bit of that. And it's almost like I understand vacations more going and doing that, because it feels like I have less connection to being constantly bombarded with responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
And it was nice to meet different people. And I think I've never like done alone travel. I've traveled alone.
Right.
You know, and for comedy, I do it all the time.
Right.
But I've never been like, I'm going to go out and explore this new city alone.
Right.
I'll do a little bit. I'll dabble, but that's as far as I go. But there was something really nice about, instead of, I don't have my spouse with me, I don't have friends with me where I'm chatting with them. So I'm more open, and I made myself like lean into that.
I like that.
Yeah, and like the bus tour thingy from Juneau to Mendenhall Glacier, it's a bus that runs like every half hour.
Right.
And the driver was this guy named Archie, who's a Tlingit tribe. And like listening to him, I keyed in because I was like, this guy does this dozens of times a day.
Right. Yeah.
He's got a patter and I'm going to listen to him.
He's shouting at people from Texas.
Sure. But I'm listening to him as a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really great to listen to like the baked in jokes, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody on the left side, we're going around this corner, get your camera out. You're going to want to see this. Everybody on the right is going to be jealous. Get your cameras ready. There it is. McDonald's. You know, like stuff like that. And he's talking about his life in Juneau and all that stuff. And so after everybody got off the bus, like I hopped off. I gave him a tip. And I was like, hey, I'm working on one of the cruise ships. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm a comedian. And I just wanted to say, like, I listened to your patter. And you're great. Like, you're so wonderful. And then so we chatted for a little while everybody else was gone.
Yeah.
And this man's demeanor changed.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like, his smile was different because it was the real one.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's so, that's a special, like, connective thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Meanwhile, you're also surrounded, because I would go out and just get away from everybody else.
Yeah.
And you go back on the boat and you're surrounded by cruise tourist people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are wonderful. Some of them are not. And hearing some of that stuff, right? Yeah. And like it was I remember we were in Glacier Bay, which is a national park. And there was this beautiful glacier. The boat comes up to the glacier. We spend like a little time there during the day.
Yeah.
And it's stunning. It's amazing, right? Yeah. And I'm out there and I'm looking at this beauty you know, there's a ranger telling us all about what's going on. And I'm taking this in, and this woman walks out and she lights a cigarette, which I do smoke, but I didn't smoke around like the public areas. Cause I was like, today everybody's out looking at everything. I don't want to be respectful of that. She comes out, she lights a cigarette, and she says to like a random waiter walking by, are there going to be fireworks today? Because it was the 4th of July. She goes, are there going to be fireworks tonight? What's going on? And the guy's like, no fireworks. And I wanted to stop this woman and go, hold on. Look me in the eye real quick. We are in a national park in Glacier Bay with stunning natural beauty all around us. Do you think there's going to be fireworks?
Yeah.
In this national park?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No, you don't. Also, you don't go to the Grand Canyon and then be like, well, are we going to see something else amazing here? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, something man-made.
And
then she put her cigarette out on the glacier. It started to melt. And you're like,
finally. Yeah. You know, that's what I came here to see. Can you guys, we aren't getting any of that, how the glacier falls. What do they call it? Cabbing? Yeah. We haven't seen the glacier cab at all. Can somebody go out there and poke at it? We came all this way. I want nature to do what I want it to do. We haven't seen a bear. Somebody get a bear out here right
that's,
now.
That's really funny.
But it is like that weird expectation where it is just like, just hang on. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Just shut up. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was really wonderful.
That's awesome.
I wish I had like a better timeline.
Yeah.
It's just sort of all colliding together.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So if you have any questions, I'm here. I'm available.
Sure. Did you see any bears?
I did not see a bear.
Did you see a bear riding a moose?
I didn't see a bear riding a moose.
Oh, did you see a moose?
I saw... I saw stuffed moose.
Ooh, all right.
Mooses.
Yeah.
Muse.
Yeah, Muse.
The E with the...
Yeah. No, I did not. Okay. I saw fishes. I saw squirrels. I saw seals.
Yep.
I saw whales. Mm. Yeah.
Now, you're a Mainer.
I saw husky puppies.
Oh, that's worth it right there.
Yeah.
You know... Maine, a lot of unspoiled natural beauty.
Those are fat tits, by the way. I'm so sorry. Husky puppies. That's what I refer to, fat tits. Mm. Look at that set of husky puppies.
So sorry. You were saying such a nice thing, but my wheels were just, it was like.
What's bad is that I sat on a joke about you smuggling out an Easter Island statue for so long. And I'm like, no, it's the moment has passed.
Well, didn't you want to finally see the rest of the body?
Yes.
Of that giant head?
Oh, that's what you're sitting on.
And when I got it in there, I went, this head is definitely not circumcised. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Being from Maine. Unspoiled natural beauty all around you. Did you appreciate it because you grew up surrounded by it? Or, you know, the fact that we're so close to the ocean, I take the ocean for granted. Even though I grew up in Indiana, I hate the ocean. I spit at it. I'm putting my cigarettes out in it, which is even worse because I don't smoke them at all.
Right,
so it's extra upsetting. Litter.
Yeah.
You probably didn't appreciate it when you were young because when you're young, you have no perspective. But now that you're older,
my young self wants to say, how dare you? No, I'm just kidding.
Do you appreciate Maine's natural beauty in a new, different way?
It's tough because
that's interesting.
I've always appreciated Maine, and the wilderness around it. I have genuinely appreciated it. I mean, growing up there, you're just like, man, there's fucking nothing here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But I have always appreciated it. I think moving here made me appreciate it a lot. I do love Maine and I would live there if like I could work living there. It's not really possible. So, I do love it. It feels like home still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think moving to Rhode Island, you and I kind of go back and forth. We butt heads on this a little bit. Like I personally am like, Rhode Island, whatever. You know what I mean? And you're like, it's beautiful. And there are beautiful parts.
Yeah.
I think I just don't live in them.
And, that might be true.
Yeah. And so I have always appreciated Maine's beauty.
Right.
And part of why I wanted to go to Alaska was like, I felt like Alaska was the actual thing that people think Maine is.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
That's possible. Yeah,
because then I went to Alaska and I'm like, Maine's beautiful.
Yeah.
Ain't got nothing on this. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. Like, I called Maine and I went, hey, Maine, you know that look you've been looking for? You want to get a load of this. Like that. And then Maine was like, it's a phone call. Yeah. I can't.
And also, I'm a state.
I'm a state.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, what state are you in? You know, it was a thing. And
denial.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, but it was really, really wonderful. But genuinely, the flight back was something that no one should exist that way. Really. It was the first time where I'm like, you know, people with bombs, I get it. I thought for a split second I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
At one point, I don't want to go through the whole story of it because it's also embarrassing and humiliating. I'm 6'7" and a fat guy, okay? The fat part makes a plane seat like uncomfortable sometimes, but I can always sit there. The height is the problem. I sat down in my seat for this overnight flight, left the boat at whatever time, got to the airport at noon, and had to wait until 8 p.m. to get on a flight.
Gross.
I know.
Got on a flight at 8 to go to Atlanta, where I would arrive at 7 a.m.
Okay.
It was an 8-hour flight. I sit down in my seat and my knees immediately smash into the armrests in front of me to a point where I was like, oh, no, this is worse than normal.
Yeah.
The seats in front of me can't recline.
Yeah.
They cannot recline. My kneecap is in the little metal mechanism area where it will recline.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to shatter my knee. I'll scream and then they won't be able to recline.
Right.
And so it was a problem. The guy next to me is like, his wife is in the row next to us.
Yeah.
He texts something and kind of shows his phone to his wife, like, check your texts. The way he was texting, he was sitting next to me
Definitely
and had the phone
you.
Turned yeah. so far where it was like, dude, you might as well just read it to me. You know what I mean? And it was, I could tell it was like, I got to sit next to this guy.
Yeah.
And so I flagged the flight attendant and I was just like, I literally, like, my knees are jammed into the seat in front of me. The people in front of me can't recline their seat. And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the guy sitting next to me goes, I mean, I've got half a seat here. And it's just so humiliating. The group of people, they start talking about, like, the row in front of me, the one I'm in and the one behind me, all start having a conversation about what's best.
Good.
And the flight attendant's doing nothing.
Yep.
And they're like, you should get one of the seats up there that has all the leg room, you know? And I'm like, the ones that are, they cost more money?
Yeah.
That people are sitting in? Right. And they're like, you should switch with one of them. I'm like, yeah, what? I'm sure they'll do that.
Yes.
I'm sure they would love to switch with me. And the flight attendant's like, you'll have to ask them. That's up to them. And I'm like, uh-huh. And it's a full flight.
Yep.
There's nowhere to move me. Yep.
Awesome.
And then the guy in the row in front of me is like, I texted my son. He's in an exit row in the back. You can go sit over there. And I was like, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, and then the son walks up because he texted him.
Yep.
And I was just like, I guess I have to, right? And I got up and I went over there. And it was the exit row that has those metal like walls for armrests.
Oh, good.
Because the tray table's in it and stuff like that, which makes it even smaller and more narrow. Mm-hmm. And my hips were like killing me. My big 6'7" morbidly obese giant hip bones are wedged into this thing. My balls are about to explode.
Right.
And I'm sitting, and it was just humiliating. Yep. It was so embarrassing and so shitty, right? Yeah. It was just so bad. And I'm like, I have to sleep on this flight. This is impossible. And I wanted to talk to a flight attendant in private.
Yeah.
Not with an audience of people that had voted me off the island.
Right.
Because I was too fat for the island.
Yeah.
So I go up to the front after we take off and I'm trying to talk to the flight attendant. And I get there and another flight attendant is like, What are you doing? And I was like, I just wanted to talk to the flight attendant without the passengers around me hearing me, like privately. And he's like, well, we're about to serve the stuff and blah, blah, blah. You got to go sit down. And I was like, oh, okay. I had seen people walk up there. The bathroom is right there and they're all going to the bathroom and stuff. So I'm like, I wasn't like invading a space I shouldn't be in.
Right. Yeah,
right. Yeah. And he's like, and I was like, oh, I was just trying to talk to somebody privately. Can I talk to, one of you like without an audience? And he goes, you have to go sit down, otherwise you'll be a security risk. And I went, well, I don't want to be a security risk.
Oof.
And I went, shut the fuck up. Don't do this. You're going to be a video online real soon, right? So I just shut up. I went and sat down, and I was the angriest, pouty fat boy in the whole wide world. And it was miserable. The flight was misery. It truly was. Like, I would sleep for like 5 minutes, and somebody would bump into me because we're right by the bathroom.
Yep.
It's a seat I didn't pay for. I shouldn't be there. It was fucking misery.
Yeah.
And so the idea of something like that happening for this fucking flight to Italy, I'm like, please no. Like there were times where I genuinely was like, if I just go sit in the bathroom, how long until somebody is like, you got to leave the bathroom?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that would happen?
Yes.
Let's game this out. First off, by the way, don't fly Delta. Delta is a piece of shit. Delta's terrible. This was Delta. One time flying to Minnesota to do shows at a comedy club there. The seat was ridiculously small again. I literally couldn't sit down in the seat because my knees shot into the back of the seat in front of me.
Right.
And the distance between my kneecap and my spine was longer than the seat space. So my ass didn't connect with the cushion. Not because I'm fat, It was all hype.
It was that Easter Island statue.
It was that Easter Island statue. I was sitting on that, and then the flight attendant was like, "When we get to altitude and the seatbelt sign comes off, you can stand in the galley." And so I flew to Minnesota with a plane ticket that I purchased with an empty seat and me standing in the galley, watching like a movie on my iPad. Like right next to them while they get the ginger ales ready and shit.
Ooh, I like that.
And it was fucking horrible. Like yeah. like I was riding a subway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was awful.
It's funny,
so don't fly Delta.
I do, like a lot of times I'm like, you know, we walk away from a conversation and I'm like, I want something bad to happen to that guy. But I would never want this to happen to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You didn't like no. Jurassic World.
Yeah.
No, but in all honesty, this kind of humiliation as like an adult... It is so intolerable to me.
Yeah.
I fucking hated the story when you told me.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah.
I know.
But genuinely, how long could you last? Oh, that was the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
Delta's so bad, it sucks. The bathrooms in front of me that I was sitting right in front of, the one on the right worked fine. The one on the left, the door was broken.
Good.
And wouldn't lock.
Okay.
So for this entire flight, I watched... a person go in the bathroom, and then another person open the door.
Ooh, just like over... in that Chuck Palahniuk book.
Wow.
Which one?
Oh, man.
Survivor? That has an airplane.
I think so.
Yeah, it was
they would intentionally leave it unlocked.
Oh, okay. It was just over and over and over and over. I would see this dainty lady go in, and then I'd see this big jet. There was a guy who was my size, but shorter. Motherfucker. So he got to sit in his seat.
Yep.
And he had... fucking denim overalls on. Like, this dude looked like a guy, like you would just pick this guy for Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes up to the broken door. I know that there's a delicate little lady in there, but I'm furious.
Yeah.
And I'm half passed out and I've got my noise canceling headphones on and I'm just watching this just angry, right? Like, if I'm miserable, so are you, right? Like, yeah. That kind of thing. And I'm seeing this huge hulking redneck wrenching on this door to try and open it. And the woman's just trying to keep it closed while she's in there.
Oh, like she's realizing that the lock is broken and she's closing it so that no one walks
in. She's like, please don't come in here. Yeah.
Oh my.
And this guy's like, the hell with this door? And I'm just thinking, like, this is a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because for that woman, suddenly fucking there's like, you know, Bocephus is at the door and he's just like, give me the fucking door. It's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre on a plane. You know what
I mean? I'd watch that.
Oh, yeah. I would not. I'd be that guy.
I'd be like, good for you. Get the flight attendants. You have a hard job. Sorry. But no, it was genuinely fucking
awful. Oh, sure.
Awful.
Leatherface should have bought two tickets.
Yeah. How did he get that chainsaw on here?
You cut back to TSA and they're just all cut in.
But it was so bad. Delta fucking sucks. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do in that situation. What do you guys think? Is it just you got to tough it out?
I have one little piece of advice that maybe could have worked.
Yeah.
So the door was broken legitimately.
Yes.
You didn't break it.
Nope.
You could have stayed in the bathroom, sat on the toilet, you know, seat down, obviously.
Yeah.
And then just like been like this the whole time. And then whenever anyone opens the door, you're like, sorry, the lock in here is broken. I'm trying to fix it.
That would have been
But
funny.
Then I wouldn't be able to sleep.
You know what?
I did genuinely think, like,
go to
maybe...
sleep with a jeweler's loop in your eye. And then when anyone opens, you'd be like, oh, he's really concentrated.
Two jeweler's loops.
Yes.
That way you can completely sleep.
No, but here's the problem. If I fall asleep and I slump forward, people are going to think he needs a jeweler's loop to find his penis. Right? Like, that's what they're going to think.
I do wish your dick was so small that you needed a jeweler's loop to see it.
Looks like you made that wish 45 years ago.
This is immediately after you being like, sometimes I wish ill on people, but I wouldn't wish that for you. I hope you have such a tiny dick, right? It's so funny. It's like your version of thinner, smaller.
You know what you could do? You could get in the bathroom.
Yep. Cry.
No.
Yes.
Before you get in, tape a sign.
Oh, out of order.
Lock broken.
Right.
Out of order.
This is what I thought.
And he could have perched in there.
Genuinely, because they didn't fix that door. No one did shit about that door.
Right.
I genuinely thought about saying to a flight attendant, like, hey, that bathroom door is broken.
Yes.
People shouldn't use it. people are getting walked in on regularly.
Yeah.
Everyone that uses it gets walked in on. It should be out of service. Let's put a little sign up. Let me sit in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I genuinely would have done it. I would truly have slept in the fucking bathroom. And been gleeful.
Yeah.
Been gleeful.
See, I'm the type of guy.
Have you met Ben Gleeful?
I'm the type of guy where like I come up with an idea like that, $1 million idea. But I know that if I tell the powers that be,
they'll say no.
They'll say no.
That's me. Yeah. Oh.
And so I just do. And then when they're mad, then I say I had to.
Yeah.
Here's how that conversation would go. You know, we're on the plane. I've got my earbuds in. And Chuck's rummaging around in his bag.
And then he goes, oh, shit, that's not my bag.
he somehow finds paper and a Sharpie because he's packed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, do you have any tape? Like, why would I have tape on a flight, Chuck?
And then you go, he's like, and then you do have tape.
He's like, San Diego fucking stole a
spin. No.
You're like, why would I have tape?
And then he's like,
Scott, you're masking. Well,
and then he'd be like, wait, no. On one of the XLR cables, I had to use electrical tape. I'll just unroll that and use that as tape. And I'll put up a sign that says, out of order. Hey, should I sign it flight crew? And I'm like, no, you're not the flight crew. And he's like, okay. And then it's out of order, flight crew. And
then he
does it.
I would definitely do something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know my...
Oh, I feel like you would go, do you have a tape? No. And you're like, I'll use come again.
So, and then and then your backpack falls apart.
One of the things I've done, I've told you about this before. When I want a seat next to me that's on the plane to be empty, I'll make a fake person out of my
scared mind. But that's for a Southwest flight.
Yeah,
for a Southwest. If you have a regular flight, you know, that's ticket. That's a ticketed seat right there.
I don't know if I ever flew on not Southwest.
We flew to Cincinnati on American.
Northeast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
we didn't know the rule that you have to check luggage 30 minutes before your flight, and we showed up 20 minutes before our flight.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Spike over here.
Yeah.
No, something happened that caused that, didn't
it? You forgot the keys for your office.
Diarrhea.
Oh, we had to go from here to my office to pick up my gear, and when I got to my office, I realized I left my keys at home because I was going on a flight.
Yeah.
But it
is a genuine question. Like, what do I do in that situation? And
I don't think
can I alleviate? I don't think there's fucking anything I can do.
I don't think the out of order idea is that bad.
No.
But you'd have to find the stuff.
It's also not going to happen realistically on another flight where I'm sitting right in front of a bathroom with a
broken
door.
Oh, you're saying in the future. Yeah.
Yeah, so like this Italy flight, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? If it is a problem.
It's funny because like I'm down to throw a tantrum when necessary. But on a flight, a tantrum is
I feel like
different.
Once you're on the flight, you got to be cool, man.
Yeah, I know.
You got to be Alaska Ray the whole time.
Yeah, because they're ready to be like, I'll fucking call an air marshal on your ass.
Well, maybe you could say things that you're not threatening, but you know that people will take it threatening, so that might try to get you to stop. So if you could be like, listen, I'm a comedian. I need sleep or else I'll bomb when I get to the
Maybe group. That's not the best idea.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
And you're like, I was just saying, but they know people are hearing it and being like,
the chances of a good day tomorrow are plummeting.
I mean, if there's one thing like airline security is known for, including staff on flights, it's nuance.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you know, flight attendants are so good at just like really hearing you out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it did make me realize truly what flying is now.
Oh, yeah.
When flying started, it was a service industry. And flight attendants were there very similar to a waiter waitress kind of thing or a hostess, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I don't want to belittle, but it was more service oriented. Let me make sure your flight is pleasant. Here's a drink. Would you like the drinks menu? Here's your meal. What can I get for you? Everything's fine. Great. You know, that kind of deal. And I'm not expecting someone to just like cater to my whims or anything like that. But it has shifted, and it's not entirely the plane industry, the flight industry. It's not entirely them. It's mostly them.
Yep.
It's not flight attendants, really. It's not their fault. They're in a really shitty position.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's some of the fault of passengers in general. I think the brunt of it, though, is the flights, like, let's make the seats smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It's like you're making everyone, their anxiety is way up.
I know.
Their stress levels are through the roof.
I agree with this.
Just getting to the airport and to your gate is a fucking ordeal.
It's this is so funny because like I think in regular businesses, like let's use comedy clubs because we're all so used to this. Yeah, they're going to say, how small of a space can a person sit in so we can maximize the seats we sell to make the most money?
Sure.
When people are flying, I think taking all the pleasantries and the stuff that's comfortable and taking a little bit away and chipping away at it is a wicked bad move to get when people are already like, this day's going to be long. I'm going to be fucking waiting for a long time. There's going to be delays. There's going to be moves. There's going to be this problem.
They made me open my suitcase and they checked things because it didn't look right on the x-ray.
I had a glacier in there. Yeah,
my shampoo bottle was wrong. You know, stuff like that.
All
and it's
stuff.
Like I had to take my shoes off and get scanned. My entire fucking body was scanned.
Pro Vision L3.
Sometimes you can see it on the screen where they see every part of your small dick. They have a jeweler's loop. But like the thing is then saying let's chip away at the comfort, let's chip away at all this stuff is such a bad idea.
Exactly, because then you hit a, you know, it is all of that is stress.
Yeah,
then you add like a flight, which adds an element of fear. Even if you're cool with flying,
right?
Yeah,
there's still an element of fear. Oxygen levels are different.
Pressure,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
You are crammed in with absolute strangers. You're touching another stranger.
I know.
All of those things add to the worst parts of your brain firing, right?
Exactly.
And I think everyone on a flight is suppressing a little bit of like, get the fuck away from me,
yeah,
right? Like that's at all times.
Right.
And then they go, let's, you know,
I was on a flight same day, much different experience, but the same thing. I'm on the window seat.
I had this big fat guy next to me. And I was like, I have half a seat here.
Anyway, so I'm texting Chuck.
Yeah.
There was
a half a seat.
There was a woman to my left, but and you know she's in the middle seat.
Sure,
she gets both armrests, but I was like leaning the entire time. But it's it wasn't awful, but it wasn't at any point comfortable.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And then like occasionally I'll get a bump up. Every once in a great while,
right,
I will find a first class bump for like $100.
Right.
Yeah.
It's never amazing first class.
This isn't
you're gonna recline and have a beautiful day.
Yeah, you're not gonna have a sleeping pod.
It's literally just like, here's an okay seat for you.
Yeah.
This seat is comfortable.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't give a shit about the meal, the champagne, or anything like that. The seat is just fine.
Yeah.
And I remember getting off of a flight from LA back, and I was with Derek Furtado because we were doing a screening of Be a Man in LA. And I saw the bump up. I'm like, dude, it's $100 to go like nonstop from LA to Boston. This is perfect. And he's like, I'm fine. I'm sitting in the economy seat, right?
Yeah, because his legs don't even fucking touch the ground.
Yeah. So
he's kicking.
Yeah, he's kicking. La, 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 la. They give him a little pin, pilot pin on it. And so
he has
sit in
a propeller beanie and a lollipop.
They gave this to me. And so I'm sitting in first, and I'm like, this is great. Like, I feel awesome sitting here. It wasn't extra fancy. It was literally like, hey, this seat is comfortable.
Yeah.
I feel good for the flight. I get off the plane, and I'm like, oh, no, we were flying to Philly because it was a connecting flight. We get to Philly. I walk off the plane, and I'm like, chipper.
Yeah.
I'm fucking cheery, bright-eyed, ready to
go. A cartoon bird on your shoulder.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel good.
He's singing Zippity Doodah.
Yeah.
He has that straw hat on. Yeah, he's walking like, to his plantation.
You're like, wait a minute.
If I had shit to do that day, I would be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would have all that energy. It would be good. And then I look at Derek coming off the plane, and he's got his neck pillow on, and he looks miserable. He looks like he just did the Maid Marian scene in Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
Like, he looks like he was chipetted hard, right?
Oh, gross.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. And so you're gonna earn different wings now. I got a pin and everything. But it's because it's like, oh, this is just a normal ass fucking seat.
Uh-huh.
And it drives me insane that it's like, oh, you want to fly that way? Not a problem. It'll be $3,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild. It's like you are so dehumanizing the people.
Oh, for sure.
You are just human cargo. I feel like cattle.
Yeah.
And now, like, flight attendants, their job is not, like, to, like, what can I get for you? Do, like, right. Here's a service for you. They are literally like, we need to pacify these breathing lumps. We have to pacify them.
Breathing lumps.
So
we use the once term, we get up, we use the term gack when we were getting ready, where it clogs up the picture when you're filming.
Yeah, it's just random shit.
That's what. Yeah, these that's fucking flight attendants.
Yeah. Yeah, so many gacks. Yeah, this cattle, this human cattle.
Oh, that's so.
We
funny.
Need to pacify them. That's what it is now. So it's like. It used to be like a, you know, here's your fucking old fashioned, you know, or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Now it's like, what fucking soda do you want? Now shut the fuck up. Here, take it.
I'd like a Diet Coke with no ice, and they throw a can of Sprite at me and say, you got Sprite.
Right, yeah. And then it's like, here, and here's your Biscoff cookie, you fuck. And then they move on to the next person.
I do like that. That's,
sure.
That's worth it.
Sure.
I'll say
what
this.
Bag of almost exploded chips do you want? Because the air pressure changed. Which one do you want? Here, take it. Eat it, you fuck. Go. And it's like, just shut up and don't talk and don't ask for anything.
Yeah.
And if you need to expel liquids or solids, go in that little closet.
The lock is broken, so someone's going to peek at what you got.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be handing out jeweler's loops.
Right, and because...
Come on.
Fuck you.
Like, I feel like
I thought I was going to get away with it.
I feel like back in the day, like in the 60s or 70s, somebody taking a flight, like someone having a complaint on that flight, if they were having the same exact complaint today, they're getting like pinned to the floor and duct taped to their seat because they're a fucking flight risk. It's horrifying. Yeah. So it is not a surprise that we see video after video of people snapping, of fucking losing their minds. Yeah. There's a reason why that lady on that flight was like, that man's not real, and da 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 da. It's like, yeah, oh, she's crazy. How many connecting flights has she already been
That's
on today?
True.
How many times did you move the fucking gate?
Yep.
You know what I mean? She's not crazy. She's in a crazy fucking place. That's the difference.
Can I give you a little
I'm
bit
ready
of...
to fucking run for mayor.
Well, I have a philosophy about sleep, and I think it's going to apply to this flight thing, and maybe you guys will be in with me.
Hit me.
My philosophy on sleep is not so much like... It's hard to sleep when this. I feel like things add up and you have like a percentage of like good sleep. So let's say there's like a small noise in the background.
Huh.
The room is kind of bright. There's little things going on and they add up to you not being able to sleep. It's not like a black and white thing.
That woman keeps trying to slide out from your grasp.
I thought she was dead, but
I paid you to pretend to be dead for the whole night.
Yeah. But I think
there's a little fruit fly buzzing around.
I don't know what the fruit fly is from. But
he's our guest for this episode.
Yes, but I think that with the flight thing, it is a thing where like let's say you're like okay, I got to the airport 2 hours early. That like brings your like anxiety / annoyance up to 10%.
Yeah.
Then you're like, I'm in a middle seat and I'm kind of like jammed in. That brings it up to 20%. And all these little things of like, hey, the plane is we gotta take a ride around the runway. We're gonna be leaving a little bit late. That
brings it up
another 10%.
Yep. Yeah.
And Brad thinking, am I gonna make my connecting flight now that we're leaving 20 minutes late? That brings it up 10%. And all these these things that are difficult, uncomfortable, claustrophobic, all that stuff just makes your anxiety slowly tick up.
Yeah,
and so people are kind of like on there, like the get the fuck away from me thing. I think that that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just like a million things adding up to making very uneasy people crammed in a tight space for hours and hours and hours where they could barely move.
Right, right. And I wish there was a way for me, like I go to the gate agent every time and I'm like, hey, 6'7", big guy, whatever you can do. Like I try and pick a seat that's going to be good, all that stuff. And like, they don't do shit. And I want to be like, look, you're already bumping people up to like Comfort Plus or, you know, there's one first class seat that somebody's going to get bumped up to. I'm not even asking for that. Be smart about it.
I know.
If you bump me up, you're making me and probably two other people very happy. Right. You know what I mean? That's, like stuff like that. Like just let me, I don't need any extra shit. I just want to sit like this a human being.
This is so interesting because like you and a woman who is 42 and weighs 125 pounds and is 5'2".
Yeah.
Are like, you know, you paid the same amount of money for a regular seat, but the difference in saying maybe we should figure this out, it really does affect so many more people than just the actual individual you're helping out.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I never really thought about that before.
It's weird. I think I have a friend of mine from high school who is a flight attendant for Southwest. And when Chuck and I had our issues with American a few years ago, I asked her like, hey, how would you handle these situations? And she's like, I would handle it completely different.
Oh, because they...
Because she has freedom and autonomy to, you know, be helpful. She's also as attractive as a married woman can be.
So, really?
Yeah.
Well, like I mean, Giselle?
Not. Yeah. She's as attractive as Giselle.
Can be like they. Yeah. Like they're not allowed to be more.
Well,
attractive?
You know, at some point you can't lust after a married woman.
He can't. He can't. Jewel his loop to a woman that's married.
Oh, I can. I just feel super
guilty.
You know
that's one of his rules, right?
You apologize.
He won't. Won't masturbate to a woman that's married. He has this moral.
Are we in goofs or are we?
No,
out?
We're in. This is we, real.
The goof cone has been lifted.
We've been in goofs.
No, we're not. We're not in goofs.
We're in goofs.
You said you stopped when Trish Stratus got married.
We're in goofs. We were in goofs then. Sometimes Chuck repeats things that he hears. He's like a child.
Where do you fall in widows?
I'm sorry.
It helps.
he's the creepy guy at the funeral.
48 hours.
Oh, I'm not going to have sex with you, but I'm going to be thinking about it.
That was actually a great example. When we went to, we went on that flight, they're like, oh, your bag, which I have a camera bag that rolls, that is smaller than a carry-on.
Yeah.
And they were like, if your bag has wheels, you have to check it. And I'm like, well, this is all my camera equipment, lenses and stuff. I kind of don't want this to be like thrown around. Like, it's not really, can I just keep it with me? And they're like, nope, it's a rule, it's a rule. And I was fighting with them, and they basically said to me, if you keep fighting, you're not going to be able to go on
this
flight.
Exactly, yeah.
And what they said.
They have the power and they know it.
Well, that's the thing. So the next flight, I was like, I have an idea. And I held it sideways because there's a handle on the top, which makes it like a roller.
Yep.
There's a handle on the side that makes it like a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And they were saying the same thing, which was anything that has a wheel, you have to check. I held it from the side, walked right past them, put it in the overhead department. No big deal.
Yeah.
Which showed me that the person beforehand, when I'm like, hey, like I'm a filmmaker, I'm traveling for film.
Yeah.
There's probably $10,000 of equipment of lenses and cameras in here. Can I please keep it with me? It's like she wanted to be not helpful. She wanted to be like, I can let you go by, but I'm going to tell you I can't.
And it sucks too, because there is that level of like, sometimes they are genuinely just like, I don't want to help you. And it's a shitty person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also difficult because I also understand they're criminally understaffed.
Yes. Right, yeah.
And they have to deal with like shitty people too.
Oh, no.
And so it is hard. Like when I talked to that gate agent before the flight and I was like, can you switch me? Can you do anything? All that stuff. And I tried to play it up where I was like, look, I have a herniated disc.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and she said, oh, I wish you hadn't said that because that could have put you in an exit row, but I can't do it now.
Yeah.
And I brought that up when I was on the flight and I was like, they decided to move me, the passengers, to an exit row. I shouldn't even be sitting there. I was told I can't.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we have to move you back then. And I went, no. And I said to the flight attendant, I'm like, look, you cannot put me back in the group of people that got together to get me out of here.
Yeah.
It will be so humiliating.
Yes.
Please don't do that to me.
Yes, yes.
I will sit here.
Yeah.
And but it, like, I remember saying to her, look, I know it's a full flight. Mm. You have people on standby. Bump me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bump. I don't have to get home right now.
Yeah.
I want to.
Yeah.
But I can wait. If you bump me to the next flight and guarantee me at least a comfort plus seat with more legroom.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it. You don't have to do the thing of like, who wants a $500 voucher?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
wants a $600? Like, don't just bump me. Go ahead and bump me right now.
Yeah.
I'll get a hotel room. I'll stay here till tomorrow. and I will be happy to do so.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, can't do it. Sorry. So some people didn't get their standby and I had to be on that flight. And I'm like, just please, I will do whatever I can. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're like, well, we do have one first class open. This was before they moved everybody up.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And she's like, you would have to purchase the ticket. And I went, yeah. Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what a solution.
Yeah.
Yes, here's $1,800 more. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's wild. It turned into a lot of complaining. It sucks that was the last part of Alaska. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
what are you going
to
do?
I do think that 10 years from now, you're going to hold on to the Alaska experience, the positives.
Oh, yeah.
And the negatives are going to be kind of gone.
Yeah, I'm already like forgetting about that flight.
Yeah.
In fact, I forgot about one important thing that I did learn in. It wasn't in Alaska. It was pre-Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Pre-Alaska.
Pre-Alaska, yeah.
They call that Vancouver, Canada.
Okay.
Because I flew to Vancouver and I spent a night in Vancouver.
Woo!
Beautiful city. Genuinely.
Shout out to our pals, Killer. Nick and Erica.
Insane.
Yes.
The what?
You said the strip clubs were insane.
No.
brothels. Brothels. Cat houses.
Oh, brothels. Right. Oh, wait, this is a brothel? This isn't insane, and I owe so much money.
Here's the difficult thing. I was told that they called them something different there. They call them free clinics. I went, and I was like, this place sucks, right? Like, ugh, they're all sick and shit. It's gross. I mean, I fucked them, but it was weird. No.
Stop coughing.
Ugh. Ooh, what is that? But no, it was, so I was in Vancouver, beautiful city. It was very nice. I got a candy bar. That's a Canadian one from Nestle or something.
Good.
Called a Coffee Crisp.
Oh yeah. Coffee Crisp.
Yeah. I was like, sign me up. I want to try your little candy. Right. Oh, yeah. It was good. It was like a Kit Kat with coffee in it.
Got it.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
But I was on a cable channel in the hotel, and it was APTN or something like that, whatever it was. It was like the Indigenous People's Channel.
Okay.
And they would run like old stuff. I watched an episode of Northern Exposure.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm going to Alaska. I want to see this shit. Yeah. Right. And it is weird. Northern Exposure, like, you guys remember that, right?
Yes.
Not really.
Oh,
but I remember a commercial for the movie.
All right. It's just weird because it was like a show. It was like proto Gilmore Girls, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Like, here's a little town with quirky people in it.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. And I remember watching it when I was a kid. Why, I don't know. But anyway, that ends, and a show started. And I sent you guys a YouTube clip of the opening of this show. And I think we should end this episode with at least the music playing, right? Maybe.
Did I watch this? What was it?
Yeah, this was a show that ran for years.
Decades.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'll explain it. Maybe you'll remember. I don't want to say it right away because it ruins the little story here. I felt when that shit started on the TV, I felt like I was like in an alternate universe. I thought Doctor Strange screwed something up.
Yep.
I thought sliders happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought something had gone wrong. I thought, Michael J. Fox, you've done it again.
Yep.
You did it. You get that almanac out of here, right? The show started. It's bizarre. This show was a Canadian show that ran for decades. It started in the 70s, and I think it went up to the early 90s. And I saw an 80s episode. It started when this man was younger. But the way they present the star of the show is as if he's like, he's the fucking man, but he's just some like 60-year-old retiree looking motherfucker, right? The show is called Beachcombers.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I clicked on this.
You didn't see this?
I must have missed it.
How dare you?
I don't know what happened.
Beachcombers. It opens with beautiful 80s music.
Yes.
And it's like this is going to be fucking Baywatch, right? I was like, is this Canadian Baywatch when the opening starts? Because it's just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
then Beachcombers comes up. You see these boats zooming around, right? Except they're not quite zooming.
Yeah.
Because they're just basic ass, like, fishing boats.
Yeah.
Right? And you're supposed, but it's like this big intense thing. And it's just, here's a 65-year-old guy riding a boat that's going 5 miles an hour, beachcombers. And it's got the intros with people I have never seen in my life. And they're doing the classic sitcom-y opening stuff for this.
Yeah.
Or like any of those hour-long, you know, drama adventure shows where it's just like...
It felt right, like it felt too many cooks ish.
Yes, yeah. It felt like a parody.
Except sincere.
But yeah, it was real.
Oh, I'm excited to see this.
It's amazing. We should show the opening to the show. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll close it.
We
with this.
Might turn it into the Fun Bearable opening.
Who knows?
Beachcombers becomes Fun Bearable, and it's just us on a fucking tugboat, right? Like that's our speed, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Brad's trying to water ski, but it's not going fast enough, so he's just sort of getting dragged.
Brad's throwing up off the side of the boat.
It's so fun. Every guest that comes on, they have to guess how fast we're going. And we're like, nope,
slower.
Getting colder.
We were so proud of how slow we were going.
Yeah, I love that.
What
love
do you mean,
that.
Knots, like plural?
Oh, no, for us, it's just N-O-T-S.
Yes, knots.
Knots. But yeah, it is so amazing, and I loved seeing that. And then like the episode starts, and I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, yeah.
And even watching it like a So Bad It's Good thing, I still had to be like, I'm done, right?
Really?
Because the plot of this episode was this old man is just like, I'm old and grumpy. And then he just takes a boat and disappears and they don't know where he is. So the argument is between like the sheriff being like, we need to like do a proper search.
Right.
And then the old man who's the star of the show, he's like, that's crazy. We got to go over to this island. He's probably there, right? And then this other weird dude is like, well, I'll go with you. And then that's it. That's it. These two guys are speeding to that island, and it's taking the whole episode. They're going so slow. And then you and then you have, like, he gets on his boat like it's supposed to be Knight Rider.
Yeah.
It's as if you had Knight Rider, but instead of hopping into Kit, this guy gets into like a fucking, like an old, like Oldsmobile.
That's so funny.
Right?
I
and,
love this.
And like, can you spray a little WD-40 in the air filter so it kicks over? Right? that's what it felt like. It was incredible.
He's got a tape player with Mr. Feeney's voice on it.
Yeah, there's these two guys doing they're doing a grid pattern searching for him.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, our main character, our hero, was like, that's gonna take too long. Yeah. And these two other guys are doing it, and they're like, still haven't found them. I don't know what's going on. And then it cuts over and it's like a wide shot and like everybody can see each other and they're going back and forth. I'm like, what are you looking for? not over there. Not over there. You're done.
There's
right?
a boat over there. Oh, it's you. It's you.
Yeah, it is.
That is hilarious.
It is so bizarre. I don't know what this show is. So viewer listener, if you're from Canada or spent time in Canada, maybe dodging the draft, you know, in the early 70s, and then suddenly this hit show Beachcombers kicked in. Mm-hmm. Do us a favor. Fill us in on Beachcombers. Ask your grandparents about Beachcombers. Ask your stepdad. Oh, that's a primo stepdad
probably
show. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How many Canadian...
I don't care if you want to watch the Canucks game. Beachcombers is on.
Yeah, how many Canadian kids heard from a stepdad, you know I'm watching Beachcombers.
Beachcombers is such a good name for something like that,
Don't go in the den when Steve's watching Beachcombers, all right? That's his time, okay? He goes in with a six-pack and he watches Beachcombers.
That's hilarious.
He loves Beachcombers.
I love that. I love
One time it. I interrupted him when he was watching Beachcombers. He hit me. Hit me with a belt.
Hit me with a bag of milk.
What episode was it?
It was the one where he was buying new shoes.
Oh, okay.
Well, the other ones got wet.
Passions were so inflamed.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But it was... I was in a different world when that came on. It was as if someone transported me to a like completely foreign country with a different language, and I magically could understand everything that was said in this weird show.
I love that.
It was amazing. So I think we should go out on Beachcombers.
Sounds good. Beachcombers, I'm down for it.
All right, friends. Well, if you have questions, comments, concerns, advice for flights or otherwise,
how do I get in the cargo hold?
Yeah. Send us an email, funbearablepod@gmail.com, or find the email link through funbearablepod.com. Find us
slash
on any
Beachcombers
of the social media sites at funbearablepod. Ray, we're glad you made it back.
Thank you.
We hope you have a great trip to and from the Mediterranean.
Ciao, Bella.
That you don't get
molto bene
pickpocketed. And, you know, Chuck and I will take over raising your child while you're gone.
Yes.
So don't worry about that.
No, I think it's fine.
That's fine.
I really think it's okay.
No,
I think
it's going to be good. We're going
to
help.
Yeah, we're going to teach him how to ride a bike, throw a baseball.
He knows those things already.
We're going to reinforce it.
Yeah,
he doesn't know the Chuck and Brad way.
Oh, all right.
The Chuck and Brad way.
I come home. He's furiously rubbing his crotch against the seat of the bike. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, getting it started.
Brad gave me a jeweler's loop.
And then he took it back because he said, I caught a glimpse and you don't need this. Right? Brad said he said I have BDE.
And I got to tell you, Brad has two jeweler's loop glued together for some reason.
All right, that's enough of this.
One time Brad left his jeweler's loop out on a picnic table and it started a forest fire through all of Canada a couple of weeks ago. That's how it started. Brad took a piss in the woods.
So let's just get to Beachcombers now.
Get ready for Beachcombers. And I'm just excited that I made it back in time for the big change. We should probably let people know we were going to save it for the next episode. Uh-huh. But in a couple of episodes' time, Fun Bearable, the feed will change to Beachcombers.
The Beachcombers watch along.
Yeah, and we're going to start with episode one. It's decades long. Oh, there's like, you looked it up. There was something like,
I mean,
some insane
hundreds of episodes.
I got to be honest, like, you know, we're going to do some fun stuff for the year anniversary of Fun Bearable, I hope. I mean, doing a bonus episode where we watch Beachcombers, I'm totally down with that.
Fucking down.
I would love to do that.
I want to wear hip waders. I want to have a ridiculous hat or a wig that looks like that man's fucking like 80s pseudo fro that he was rocking.
I
want to do it. We'll have corncob pipes. We'll do the whole thing.
Perfect.
Beachcombers.
It's so great. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for listening to my stories of Alaska.
Good stuff, man.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we're sorry for being Fun Bearable. We'll be right back.